Okay, if you have a Bible, please open it to John chapter 10 with me. John chapter 10. Is there a spare sheet? Sorry. Oh, there we go. Oh, thank you. Sorry, I should have grabbed one on the way in. Sorry, Neil, to steal yours. It's good to have one here. Okay, so John chapter 10, and let me read verse 11 again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I suggest to you that one of the most wonderful, encouraging, comforting truths that we have in the Bible is this picture of the Lord as our shepherd. It's a picture given both in the Old Testament and in the New, isn't it? The Lord as our shepherd. Full of love, full of concern, full of compassion, full of understanding, able to feed us, able to meet our needs, guarding, caring, protecting for us. I mean, here we are living in this fallen, confusing world, surrounded by temptation, facing difficulties and trials and troubles, and aware as we face all of that we are weak and feeble and prone to wander and fragile creatures. Well, then, how wonderful, how comforting, how amazing that in the midst of that we can remember we have a shepherd. We've got a shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. That was, of course, a great comfort to David, wasn't it? We've sung it. David, I mean, he was an impressive man, wasn't he? I mean, he'd been a shepherd himself. I mean, he fought with lions and bears and Goliaths and stuff, and yet he still went, "Ah, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." In fact, David wasn't the first person in the Bible to call the Lord his shepherd. Way back in Genesis chapter 48, Jacob, as he's ending his life, as he's looking back on his life, says these words in Genesis 48 verse 15. The New King James translates it, "The God who has fed me," but it's the same word as in Psalm 23 verse 1, "the God who has been my shepherd." He's rejoicing in that. He's thankful for that. You know, the only reason Jacob's got to the end of his life, you think of all that Jacob faced, the only reason he's got to the end of his life is because the God has been his shepherd. And then perhaps, well, I think my favourite chapter in the Bible, possibly, I mean, it does change from week to week, but one of the greatest chapters in the Bible is Isaiah 40. If you know Isaiah 40, Isaiah's trying his best, isn't he, to describe to us how great God is. And you remember, you children perhaps remember, he uses all these pictures, doesn't he, of God holding the seas in the palm of his hand and putting the mountains in the scales to weigh them, and the nations being like the dust in the balance compared to him, and he's stretching out the stars, he's measuring them with the span of his hand, and he's just unimaginably great, incomparably great. There's nothing and no one who can compare to him. And yet in the midst of that, we have those wonderful words, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his heart and gently lead those who are with young." But that is wonderful good news. This awesomely great God who is full of compassion and a shepherd for his people. So one of the ways the Lord wants you, brother and sister, to think about him and picture him, he wants you to think of him as your shepherd. And so then, here is now Jesus, knowing all that background, all that Old Testament background, knowing that the Lord is the shepherd of his people, who comes and he says, "I am the good shepherd. I'm that one. I'm the Lord, your shepherd." And we shouldn't miss this morning. We're not going to sort of stay on this because we've thought about it all the way through John's Gospel. We shouldn't miss that point of the divinity of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. He is the Lord, our shepherd. He is God. He is divine. As he says at the end of our passage, "I and my Father are one." So, Christian here this morning, my prayer is that you'll be encouraged and strengthened and caused to listen more carefully to your shepherd. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then I want you to know that to have the Lord as your shepherd is the most wonderful, wonderful thing. We all need a shepherd. We need someone bigger than ourselves and wiser than ourselves and stronger than ourselves. We need someone to keep us and guide us, because however impressive we think we are, we're weak and we're vulnerable. And you need a shepherd. And there's only one good shepherd. And my prayer is this morning that you will hear his voice. If you're not a Christian yet, you'll hear his voice this morning. And you'll come to him and you'll follow him and you'll discover that he is indeed the good shepherd. So let's look at this chapter. You'll see on the sheet. We're going to look at what we can learn about the shepherd and then what we can learn about the sheep, so we can all understand this, I hope, this morning. What do we learn about the shepherd? Three things. First of all, he's the good shepherd. That word translated good means he's worthy, he's noble, he's excellent. He's a shepherd worth following. So there are lots of voices out there, aren't there? There's lots, you young people, there's lots of voices calling upon you and on social media and so on, saying this is, but there's only, I want to tell you, there's only one good shepherd. There's only one voice worth listening to. Only one who really knows you and really is able to meet your needs. And it's Jesus. And this passage makes clear, doesn't it? He's the good shepherd in contrast to the hirelings, okay? So that's the hired hand. So that they were people, the sheep didn't belong to them. They were hired to look after the sheep, and they really had no interest in the sheep. Not really. They didn't love the sheep. The sheep weren't theirs. And that showed itself when the wolf came along, and they went, well, I'm off. Thank you very much. I'm not banging around here. I might get hurt. And off they go. They didn't love the sheep. They weren't interested in the sheep. Not really. They were interested in themselves. And the good shepherd then is in contrast to that. He's good because he loves the sheep and doesn't abandon the sheep. He doesn't wander off. He's even prepared to lay down his life for the sheep. Imagine that. I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I mean, how amazing, how wonderful this shepherd is. He's died for us. He's given his life for us. I mean, that's what we believe, don't we? If we're Christians here this morning, I mean, that's the heart of it, isn't it? We've got a shepherd who's died for us in our place for our sins. What did Isaiah say? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Brothers and sisters, have we lost sight of just how good this shepherd is? How good our Jesus is? He's laid down his life for us. And this passage makes clear he did it willingly, gladly, voluntarily. It wasn't taken from him. He laid it down. That's what we read, didn't we? Verse 17. I'm not making this up. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. When we think next Friday of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand it in that context. He gives his life. He breathes his last, doesn't he? On that cross. He hands his spirit over. Christian here this morning, how much does your shepherd love you? How much does Jesus love you? He loves you enough that he died for you. That's how much he loves you. Paul speaks, doesn't he, about the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's the good shepherd. He's good in a way that we could never fully grasp. You couldn't have a better shepherd. All the other voices, they're nothing. This shepherd is good. He's given his life for the sheep. Have we seen that? Have we lost sight of that? Have we forgotten that this morning? He's the good shepherd. Secondly, about the shepherd, he knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. So here's a good thing for us this morning, Christian brothers and sisters this morning. The reason he loves you isn't because he hasn't found out what you really like. I mean, that's good news, because I often think now. I think if you really knew what I was like, what would you think of me? If you knew what was in my heart, if you knew what I could be like at home, you know, what would you really think? Would you still love me? And get the good news, brothers and sisters, this morning, is the Lord loves you even though he knows you. We sometimes think that we come and rejoice with me, for I found a friend who knows my heart's most secret depths, yet loves me without end. He knows you. He says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. Now, we've got a shepherd in our midst. Rupert has got some sheep. I wonder how well he knows his sheep. I wonder if we blindfolded him and whether he could hear the bleat, if he'd know which one was which. I don't know that. But in the first century, the shepherds would spend lots of time with their sheep. They would go out for weeks and weeks and they would know the sheep really well. And there are stories of shepherds being blindfolded, and just from the bleat they could tell which sheep it was. They knew the sheep. They named the sheep often. In other words, the shepherd knew who its mother was, and it nurtured it and cared for it, perhaps at times carried it. It knew, the shepherd knew its character, it knew its worries and its weaknesses. And Jesus is saying the same as he's saying, I know my sheep. And it's speaking about a real, personal, intimate knowledge, isn't it? When the Bible uses the word know, it uses it often that way, not just sort of a mental thing. It's a heart thing, isn't it? It's speaking about relationship and choice and intimacy. And so, Christian, here this morning, or watching on this morning, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will want me to remind you today that he loves you and he knows you. He loves you. He could say to you this morning, I know what you're like. I know all you've been through. I saw you come into the fold. I brought you in. And I rejoiced to bring you in. And I've watched you all the way. And I know your character. And I know your sins. And I know your secrets. And I know your burdens. And I know your cares. I know everything there is to know about you. You don't have to hide anything from me. You don't have to keep anything from me, because I know it anyway. I know all your struggles and all your trials. I know what you've been through. I know what you're going through. I know it all. And I love you. And I'll keep you. He knows us individually, doesn't he? He knows us by name. That's what it says, isn't it? Verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name. I'm discovering the older you get, the harder it is to remember names, isn't it? I mean, some of you are so old, you hardly know your own name, do you? Sometimes it's a struggle, isn't it? And it's terrible, isn't it, when you meet someone and I know this, but what's their name? And you're starting to talk to them and you think, I can't ask them now, it's got too far into the conversation. And then somebody else comes along, you've got to try and introduce them to this person, you can't remember their name. But it's also the other way around. It's wonderful, isn't it, when somebody comes and you go, I wonder if they remember me, and they go, you, and they go, yeah, they do know me, they do remember me. But here's the Good Shepherd, he knows his own sheep by name. You know, he didn't just go, oh, you lot down there at great whatever it is. He knows you individually, personally. In fact, naming is sort of, it's not just that he knows your name. He's named you in a way, hasn't he? I mean, that's, we're his sheep. Well, it's a different animal. We've got two dogs. I named them. I mean, it was a bit of a family thing, but because they're my dogs, and the Lord knows our name. He's given us a name because we're his, and that's why he loves us, and that's why he's interested in us. He's died for us, and he's determined to bring us safely to glory. And that's the third thing about the shepherd. He feeds and he keeps and he protects the sheep. So he's the good shepherd and he knows his sheep, and he keeps and he feeds and he protects the sheep. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't lack anything. He was confident. Knowing the Lord, knowing the Lord's knowledge of him and the Lord's love for him, he was confident. He wouldn't lack. The Lord would meet all his needs and meet all his needs. And you see that? The fact that he's the shepherd who knows us, he knows what you need. He knows exactly what you need. And he knows how to meet that need. And so we can be confident that everything we need, not everything we want, but everything we need, will be cared for, will be met. Actually bound up in that, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word shepherd and the word fed or tend, sometimes the same word or very similar interconnected words. And it's saying the shepherd feeds his sheep. He feeds us by his word. He sustains us by his spirit. He's given us all the means of grace, even meeting together and hearing his word. And brothers and sisters in Christ are all his ways of feeding us and sustaining us and meeting our needs. He keeps us and he carries along and he's constantly there for us. And this care is so complete and so sure, look down to verse 28, that Jesus can say of his sheep, my sheep hear my voice, verse 27, I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, we'll come back to that, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. In other words, the Lord will meet every need and save from every danger and keep us from every enemy. Not one of his sheep will be lost. So Christian here this morning, trust in Christ, you are safe, you are kept, you are in the arms of the shepherd. Did you notice that last verse that we sang together a moment ago? That's the last part. Did you believe this? Yes, I to the end shall endure. As sure as the earnest is given, a spirit is given, more happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. Do you believe that? That those in heaven now, those who've already entered glory, well, they're definitely more happy than us. They look more happy than some of you. But they're not more secure. They're not more secure. Because you, Jesus says, they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's how good this shepherd is. Christian, here this morning, you're safe. Though you've got trials and temptations and struggles and doubts and fears, and though you're a sinner and you're prone to wander, the Lord is bigger than all those things, and he'll keep you through them all. He'll keep you through them all. Even when you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll be with you. His rod and his staff will comfort you. He'll be there. No one is able to snatch them out of my hand. And the Father, who's greater than all, I mean, this gets even more secure, doesn't it? Verse 29, he says in verse 28, no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So if you're in Jesus' hands, and then we can put it like this, around Jesus' hands are the Father's hands. And nobody, if God is for us, who does it matter who's against us? We call that, don't we, the preservation, the perseverance of the saints. That if we're Christ, we're safe. We'll never be lost. That the shepherd will keep us. That's why David could end Psalm 23. You know Psalm 23 very well, don't you? What does David say at the end? He says, surely, certainly, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's confident of that, wasn't he? Not because I'm a great guy and I've got everything sorted, but because he's a shepherd. Now, that truth will never make us careless. It will, if we really understand it, it will never make us apathetic and go, well, you know, I don't have to worry too much because the Lord's got me. No, if you understand that truth, it will make you listen even more carefully to the shepherd. And make sure you're close to him, because he's the one who keeps you. Well, what do we learn about the shepherd? What a shepherd he is. He's a good shepherd, isn't he? Let's just think for a moment about what this passage teaches us about the sheep. I know if you were going to be pictured as an animal, you know, sometimes you get that on, it comes up on my Facebook feed. If you were... But discover what animal you're going to be, or what Lord of the Rings character or something like that. Well, you know, if it was, I've never done them, I don't bother. But if you could do it, what animal are you? What would you want to be? I presume you have to answer some questions, and then it comes up and tells you what you are. What would you want to be? I want to be a lion or something. Or you children, you want to be a unicorn or something like that, wouldn't you? A cheetah or a bear or, you know, something impressive, wouldn't you? You'd be rather disappointed, wouldn't you, if you typed it all in and the answer came up. What animal are you like? And you were a sheep. I mean, they're sweet and cuddly, of course, but why does the Bible use them? Well, because they're weak and they're feeble and they're foolish and they're very good at wandering off. And that's me and you, isn't it? That's what we're like. We're vulnerable. We need someone to look after us. If you're not a Christian here this morning, that's true of you as well. You might not like to think about it, but you do. You need someone to look after you. You can't do it on your own. You were never made to. You need a shepherd. Well, I think we think about what does this passage teach us about the sheep? I think the main thing is this, that they know the shepherd. I look at verse 14. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own, or my own know me. So there's a question for you this morning. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know the good shepherd? Well, what does it mean to know the shepherd? Well, let me tell you four things. It means to know that he is the Christ, the Son of God. That's the first thing it means to know. It's in contrast, isn't it, with the Jews who come to Jesus in verse 24. We read it, didn't we? And they want to know whether he's the Christ. But, so they say, how long are you going to keep us in doubt or in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, the truth is, he's already told them. And as he says in this passage, the works that I do in my Father's name, they declare it. I mean, there wasn't any doubts. I mean, he's just, he made a blind man see, hasn't he? So we understand, don't we, that the issue, if you're not a Christian here this morning, if I can say this to you, the issue it's not a head issue, it's a heart issue. If you're not a Christian here this morning, it is the end of the day, it's a heart issue that you don't really want Jesus. You want to be in charge of your own life. You don't want Jesus as your shepherd. And that was the issue for these people. They're ignoring the truth. They won't see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He says, you don't believe because you're not one of my sheep. Those who are his sheep know him. They've come to see that their eyes have been opened, that he is the Christ, he is the Son of God. So that when Jesus said to Peter, you children remember this, don't you? Who do you say that I am? And what does Peter say? He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have you seen that? Do you believe that? Do you understand that? That's to be one of the sheep, to know him is to know who he is. And it's also to know his voice, isn't it? That's the second thing. To know him means to know and listen to his voice. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, how we've all got different voices. So you can have your eyes closed, you come to the prayer meeting and somebody prays, and if you're there regularly and you know people, you don't have to open your eyes, do you? It's only when a somebody strange person turns up and begins to pray that everyone opens their eyes and has a look around. Who is it praying? But normally we can hear one another's. We understand that we know one another's voices. And in the Middle East, in a shepherd would talk to his sheep and call his sheep, and the sheep would get used to his voice. They would hear, that's the shepherd's voice. So what would happen sometimes at night, and this is what you have pictured in verse 3 of our passage, what would happen often would the shepherds from a locality would all bring their sheep to a sort of general fold, and they would all put their little flocks in the sheep fold, and one of them would be left in charge overnight, and then in the morning the shepherds would come, and one shepherd would come, and he would call his sheep, and most of the sheep wouldn't listen, but some would. His own sheep, and he'd called them and they'd come out. They'd hear the shepherd's voice and they'd follow him. That's what we have in verse 3. Have you heard the shepherd's voice? Have you, has this book been opened, and or you've read it, or you've come and heard a sermon? Have you heard the shepherd's voice? Have you heard Jesus speak and call you and say, I'm the shepherd, follow me? And have you heard his call? I mean, that's the sign, isn't it, of a sheep. In verse 24, here are these Jews, and they're all listening to Jesus. They're, on one sense, they can hear him, can't they? But they're not really hearing him. Others heard, and they truly did believe, didn't they? They truly trusted in Jesus Christ. They realized this is the shepherd, and they heard. So to hear his voice really means to believe in him, doesn't it? To believe in Jesus, to trust him. So he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Have you heard that? Really heard it? To know him means to hear his voice, and it means to follow him. Okay, so when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Or verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So the sheep doesn't just hear his shepherd's voice, he follows it, and he goes, well, that's my shepherd, and he's always fed me so far, and he's met all my needs, and I'm going to follow him now. He's calling me, I'm going. If you're a sheep here this morning, how can you tell if you're one of Christ's sheep? Well, can you hear his voice? Are you following him? Are you trusting him? Are you listening to his word? Are you walking in his ways? Not perfectly, of course, because we never do in this life, but are you following him? Can I ask you this morning, if you are one of his sheep, how well are you following? I mean, how closely are you following the shepherd at the moment? How well are you listening to his voice? Can I ask you that, Christian, here this morning? Because, I mean, after all, we are sheep, and sheep are prone to wander and wander off and stop listening and think they know best. Perhaps the Lord's brought you along here this morning, I don't know, just as a Christian, to hear his voice, to hear the shepherd's voice again and go, come on, come back, listen, get close to me. We can be very foolish at times, can't we, and wander away. The sign of a sheep is that they follow. They hear. They know the shepherd. They hear. They follow. And of course, there's something wonderful about following, isn't there? Because what does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus goes before us. So there's a reminder to you that no matter what situation you're in, what circumstance you go through, the Lord's walked that way before. Hasn't he? There's no temptation, there's no trial that we can face that in some way or other the Lord hasn't gone that way before. So are you having to walk a lonely path? The Lord's certainly walked that before you. Are you going through trials and troubles? The Lord's known trials and troubles. Have you faced temptation at the moment? The Lord's faced temptation. Do you feel weary this morning? Well, the Lord's known all of those things, hasn't he? And he calls you to follow him as one who's walked that way before you. And is therefore able to meet all your needs perfectly. Even when you come to the end and you've got to die, the Lord's gone that way before you, hasn't he? And removed its sting. So to know him means to know who he is, to know his voice, to follow him, and to know him, lastly, is to have eternal life. That's what it is to know him. Look at verse 10, the second half. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Life in all its fullness. So you want to live a full life? You want to really live? Well, there's only one way to really live, and it's to know Jesus as your shepherd. To have him as your shepherd. Look again at verse 28. I give them eternal life. Now we're seeing, aren't we, in John's Gospel, this is what Jesus says. He doesn't just give eternal life, does he? He is it. Because when we get to chapter 17 and verse 3, that great high priestly prayer, Jesus will say, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. You see, you were made by God to know God, to trust God, to walk with him. Our sin has stopped that. But in Jesus and through his death and resurrection, we can know that. Again, we can have real life. So the world out there is promising you all sorts of things and all sorts of joys, and at the end of the day, they might be a bit exciting for a moment, but they're empty. And there's only one place where real life, true life is found, and it's in Jesus. To know him is to have life, really to live. To know him and follow him and trust him and live for him is what life is really all about. So, brothers and sisters, what encouragement this morning in the midst of all of life, whatever you're going through, just to be able to remind you this morning, you have a shepherd, and he's good, and he knows you and he loves you and he's died for you and he's able to meet all your needs and he's going to bring you safely to the end of the journey. And if you're not one of his this morning, then can you hear his voice this morning? Come to me. Come, all you who labor and are heavy laden with all your burdens and sins, and come to me. Return from your sin and trust me, he says, and find life in me. And you can just cry out to him this morning and say, I need a shepherd, Lord. I am weak. I need someone to lead me. And come to the good shepherd and open his word and hear his voice and trust in him.